This week marks the start of March Madness. The college basketball tournament is widely popular, boasting tens of millions of viewers. It's also big business by some measures. It's the country's second biggest sporting event after the Super Bowl. Despite the success, the National Collegiate Athletic Association doesn't pay its athletes. It's a longstanding policy, but a recent lawsuit is renewing the debate and raising some eyebrows. Former college athlete Lawrence Poppy Livers has sued the NCAA, arguing students should at least get a modest payment. The NCAA is rejecting that argument on rather unusual grounds. Sean King is a writer in residence at Harvard Law School and a columnist for The Intercept, and he recently wrote about the case, and he joins us now. Thanks for coming in, Sean.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, first up, who is Poppy Livers, and why is he suing the NCAA?
Poppy Livers is a great guy. His story is amazing because he was a standout high school football player and got recruited to play football at Villanova, and it took a toll on his body because what he found was that they were sometimes practicing, playing, studying game tape 50, 60, 70 hours a week, way beyond what a typical student would do and way beyond what he thought was fair in return for a scholarship. And his thought was, why in the world are we not at least paid a work-study wage, a minimum wage?
So what is the NCAA arguing in its defense? What grounds are they using to say the case should be dropped?
Well, they leaned on Van Schaik versus Peters, a district court case, actually. And in that case, there was a man, Daniel Van Schaik, who said, hey, I'm working hard, but I'm not being paid any type of wage for my work. Well, the reason Van Schaik was not being paid for his work was he was a prisoner. The district court judges were actually very compassionate in their response to him, but said that while the 13th Amendment banned plantation slavery, it actually allows prisoners to be forced into work without pay. For me, for Poppy, for his attorneys and others, it's beyond the pale.
And the players are mostly black and brown.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like in professional football, professional basketball, these players are overwhelmingly African American.
Well, we spoke to the NCAA's chief legal officer,
yeah,
Donald Remy, and he's pushing back. He says the organization is not comparing student athletes to prisoners.
All the NCAA was doing in citing the Van Siki case was the same as what the courts have done that have laid out the tests associated with determining whether or not somebody's an employee.
He says that the case has been cited again and again in lawsuits involving other professions, dog groomers, salespeople, delivery drivers, garment workers. What do you say to that?
If you have to lean on an example where prisons don't pay prisoners to justify why you don't pay students, something's wrong.
You write, their use of the Van Schaik case is, quote, as vile as anything going on in sports right now.
Well, I feel so strongly about it because students who sometimes will tell you that they are on campus hungry, they are often prohibited from even having another job. For those students to be making $300 or $400 a week, you might as well be paying them thousands of dollars. Like, that money would make all the difference.
Now, this is the National Collegiate Athletic Association. We're talking about men's football and, of course, men's basketball because the tournament's happening tonight. But the women's tournament is also happening, and this association regulates that. It also regulates other college sports. How do those athletes figure into this conversation?
I'm glad you asked because people bring that up a lot, and they mainly bring it up to say, but you know what? If we pay men who play football and basketball, what do we do about the dozen other sports that exist? In other words, what they're saying is, hey, because this is a complicated thing that we're approaching, why do anything at all? And it's kind of the new American way to address its most complicated problems. Like, because it's not going to be easy, why solve immigration reform at all? Why address gun reform? Why address police brutality at all? It's not that any of this is easy, but to have a blanket permanent answer of no as their revenue increases month after month, year after year, is disturbing.
Sean King is a columnist for The Intercept, where he covers racial justice and other issues. Thanks so much, Sean.
Thank you.